This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Stay tuned following the service for information on ordering CDs, cassettes, and printed copies of today's sermon. We thank you for tuning in today and invite you to worship with us every Sunday on this station.
Rejection is a crushing emotion. None knew this better than Jesus. So we're going to talk about it today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, help us to understand that there is no such a thing as a Christianity on our own terms. Sometimes we are foolish enough to think that we can play it that way, that we will say we trust Christ, that we love Him, we know the way of salvation and all the good Bible passages, but our lives are yet to be committed to Him, and He become the Lord. Help us today, O God, in this study, to see that sometimes Your patience can run out. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, rejection is a crushing emotion. None knew this any better than our Lord Jesus Christ. As a young person, he experienced what it was to be rejected by the people with whom he had grown up. When he announced that he was the Messiah, they rejected him. in the latter days of his ministry, you find him uttering these words from the top of the mount, overlooking Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to have gathered you under my arms like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. He had experienced what it was to be rejected. When he looked down from the cross and saw that the disciples, most of them at least, had fled, he realized that even those who were the closest to him, with whom he had spent the last 3 years in a very intensive ministry, had fled. It was rejection. So today, Jesus tells us a story about God's patience. And he tells us something that doesn't sound right. In fact, I don't even like to use it, but it is true. That God's patience is not unlimited. God loves me. God continues to wrestle with me for years and years and years. But if he senses a particular attitude, he will say, enough is enough. God can become enraged. Now that parable is found in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Let me read it to you, at least parts of it. Beginning with the very first verse, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fattened calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to the field, one to business. And the rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them, and the king was enraged. He sent his army, and he destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And then he said to the servants, the wedding banquet is ready, and those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there was not wearing wedding clothes. A friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Kind of a sad story, isn't it? A king had prepared this marvelous wedding feast, and they had sent out the invitation a long time ahead so that the people's calendar would be free. And then as the day got closer and everything was now ready, the invitations went out. Next week, the banquet will be. We want you here. Well, the first callers came back and said that none of them were ready. They weren't coming. The king thought, well, I better try it again. So he got some other servants, perhaps a bit more persuasive and influential. And they went out and said to the people, everything's ready now. is all set. We're going to have a great time at that wedding banquet. But these people said, we can't make it. One said, I've got to go to the fields. He must have been a farmer. And the other said, well, I got a lot of business to take care of. I can't come now. The king was just beside himself. What in the world am I going to do? Then he said to his servants, why don't you go out into the highways and the byways and bring all the people in? Because I am going to have a full house for this wedding ceremony. And if those who have been invited do not want to come, we'll take anybody who will come. Now, it points out at this particular part of the parable that the king was enraged. He said, I'm not going to fool around with them anymore. Enough is enough. Now, who was he talking to? Well, obviously, this parable was written first for the people of Israel. They had been called. They were God's people. But at times they could be a very rebellious people. They would turn to their idols. They would turn their backs on God. They would question God. They would want to know, why did you bring us out here into the wilderness? God would send his prophets and say to them, the feast is soon ready. The Messiah is soon going to come. And what did they do? They rejected the prophets. And then when finally the greatest prophet came, none other than God's own son, they killed him. And God is enraged. Enough is enough. And so you come to that picture in the Bible of our Lord Jesus standing there on the Mount of Ascension and saying to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. And suddenly the beloved one, the beloved nation, is not excluded, but there are many more that are included. They are no longer the only nation, but they are one of the world's population. Go and tell them. And so the gospel message has gone from that day to this, to the far corners of the earth. But the question today is, have we really entered into the wedding feast and let God change us as he wants to do? Have we kind of gotten the same attitude that Israel of old had? I'm not interested right now, Father, about the kingdom of God. I'm not at all interested in giving you the highest priority in my life. There are so many other things. Well, I could list them. I've got a dozen priorities that come before my relationship with you, Jesus. And how long can that go on before God can say to the spiritual Israelites, which is the church, enough is enough? Now, he will never say that to his faithful. And today we are dealt with on an individual basis and not as a nation, thank God. But he is saying to us, I am going to have my kingdom filled with people. Here I invite you. But if you continue to turn your back to me, if you continue to worship your other gods, whatever they may be, then a time will come when I will leave and go to another people. That's the story. But Tom Wright, in his commentary, and Tom Wright is an English theologian, has said that we have to remember when preaching on this subject that the invitation to go out and get the people and bring them into the wedding feast is not the same wide open invitation that people want to hear today. Those people who were invited back in Jesus' day in this parable were people who would come into the feast, and they would be all kinds of wretched people. But when they got into that kingdom, they were changed. They became different. They put on their wedding garments. They were the ones whom God had been able to change and make his. The wedding feast invitation that we seem to want to have today is, yes, God, I want to be a part of your kingdom, but I don't want to have any major changes in my life. I want to be able to have my own values. And if I think that this thing is a good value, that might be to hate somebody if I want to, if it can help me to get ahead, then I'm going to keep it. If there still is some dishonesty, then I'm going to keep that too. If I want to satisfy my particular drives, I don't want you to interfere with that. It's going to be Christianity on my terms. If I want to keep some of my doubts, I will keep them too. And if I want to be silent when you told me to be verbal and tell other people about Christ, the only way to heaven, then I'm going to have that. Well, Wright goes on to say, when the blind came to Jesus, he made them well. He made them so they could see. When a sinner like Zacchaeus, who was a dishonest tax collector, stood in the presence of Jesus, Jesus not only forgave Zacchaeus, but he changed his life. He became a new person. When a Samaritan woman was brought to Jesus, a prostitute, caught in the very act, permitted to be stoned, what does Jesus do? When the accusers would not do anything to stone her, Jesus turned and said, I do not accuse you either. I forgive you. Go and sin no more. What he is saying, he'll bring them into the kingdom. But once they get into the kingdom, there they will be changed people of God. I wonder if that is really what we want. I want to come into the kingdom, meaning, in my case today, the visible church. I want to be able to talk about Jesus and let people know that I love him. But it's love according to my own definition. I don't want any changes. It's a kind of a funny type of Christianity. It is only partially built on the scriptures. It's a Christianity of our own making. The parable does not tell how these people had time to change their clothes and stand there at the wedding feast. The details are not in this parable. The truth is that God's kingdom is a kingdom in which love, justice, mercy, forgiveness reign. They are the clothes that you need to wear at the wedding. And if you are saying you do not want to put them on, you are saying you do not want to remain at the banquet. Is that right? What are the clothes that we are clothed in if we are the children of God? Is it not love and faithfulness and a concern for others? Is it not a reaching out to tell the story of Jesus Christ? And if we are not willing to have those attributes, to have our lives changed, can we remain in the kingdom? Are we really a part of the kingdom? Yes, it is true. When we confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then our sins are forgiven, and we are His forever. That hasn't changed a bit. But what do we mean in confessing? Just verbalizing? Just saying a few words that you believe in Christ? Or is it confessing from our hearts? Confessing from the innermost part of our being. Jesus, I believe. Now change me and help me to put on, symbolically speaking, the wedding garments. I think we have to remember, friend. I don't think. The Bible tells us so. We have to remember that God will continue to work with us as He is doing yet today in His Word. But there can come a time when He can do to an individual what once He did to a nation. Say, enough is enough. And He will move on to someone else. God grant that this rather stern message may be understood in love. He still loves you, but His patience can run out. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that your patience has not run out on us. For we also confess that quite often we live like did those people who were not responding to your invitation. We want to know you. We want to verbally confess you. But we are not always willing to make the sacrifice that brings about change in our lives, that we may cast off our dirty clothes and put on the wedding garments, and that we might be yours forever. O God, may we sense that you are still working because your word is still open. Your word is still here. But, O God, help us not to treat it slothfully, but really use it to increase our faith and to turn to you for direction in our lives. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. May today's sermon give you hope for the coming week. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the generosity of supporters like you. We welcome and appreciate gifts of any amount. Many of our listeners give a memorial or honorarium in the name of a loved one. Some even donate online. Please visit our website at christiancrusaders.org or send gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders is pleased to offer a DVD video series of sermons by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. This 5-disc set is available for a suggested donation of $50 or $10 for individual volumes. Call or visit our website to order yours today. CD, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon are available by calling 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth since 1936.